superhero, Stephen Mayne. I thought I'd go with superhero. Yeah.
Morning, Stephen.
Hello.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. It's lovely to be back in Breakfasters.
It is a time of year where traditionally businesses defend their models for the past year and their plans for the year ahead. And it seems like a time more than most where they're on the back foot. How have you found it?
Well, I've never seen an AGM season like it. We have 1,500 AGMs in an eight-week period, and this is the last week. So you've got to have your AGM within 5 months of the end of the financial year on June 30. And look, yeah, there's been blood on the floor and a whole new series of questions. The standard question I ask now is to the billionaire chairman of the company, have you got a margin loan? That's the first question. And Rupert Murdoch and Frank Lowy and James Packer all happily said, we have no margin loans on our shares. So you get to tell who are the really rich ones and who are the ones who were just paper wealthy. And the other standard questions are, you know, what are your banking covenants? When can the banks take over the company? And also the standard one is, it's outrageous that your pay packets have gone up 20% when the share price is down 70%. Mm. What on earth is going on? So it's been a remarkable time.
How's the response been to especially that third one, the third point there?
They all sort of talk about we can't control the share market. Course. I mean, you know, if the market is crazy...
Yeah, but they can control the amount of money they get paid.
Well, they can. And the good thing about this AGM season is we've been seeing quite a revolution on executive pay voting. So the likes of Transurban, Boral, Wesfarmers, even Toll Holdings have all had their remuneration reports voted down or very close.
They're non-binding votes, though, aren't they, sir?
It is the unfortunate thing that it is non-binding. So shareholders get a bit braver when they know that they're just whacking them with a wet lettuce leaf. So, if it was actually a binding vote, I think you wouldn't see it so much. And I'll give you two examples of the worst examples of voting I've seen in a long time is the chairman of ABC Learning. Is a guy called David Ryan, who's an old accountant. For the last 4 years, he's been chairman of the ABC Learning Audit Committee. Now, of course, the audited accounts of ABC Learning are farcical, just to bear no resemblance to reality. And he was re-elected as chairman of Transurban a month ago with 66% of the vote in favour. And he was re-elected as chairman of Lendlease, you know, our big property development company, with 71% in favour. And that happened on the same day we had the Commonwealth Bank annual meeting where they admitted that they'd written off $450 million on ABC Learning, which is the biggest disaster in the history of the Commonwealth Bank. So the biggest bank in the country loses $500 million on ABC Learning, claims the accounts are completely fictitious. Mm. And up in Sydney, 1,000 kilometres away, the chairman of ABC Learning, the chairman of the audit committee who was responsible for those audited accounts, is getting re-elected by the shareholders of Australia with 72% in favour. It's a joke.
So it is utterly a joke. The reason that having a shareholder activist or a spirit of activism in these AGMs has been important is to try and hold to account these people who are utterly unaccountable. Given that it's non-binding, is there any way you can make them more accountable?
Well, I think we are seeing... in the old days, we used to see particularly CEOs and chairmen hang around for too long. So, you know, back in the 1990s, the CEO of BHP, John Prescott, hung around for 7 years and he was hopeless. He should have been fired after three or four. Now, you are seeing the CEOs getting moved on more aggressively. But you don't see it happening so well with the non-executive directors and with the chairs and these sort of things. So you've got the chairman of ANZ, Charlie Goode, been there for 17 years, 71 years old. He's going to run for another term at the AGM next month. I've given you the David Ryan example. There's any number of other examples. The chairman of BHP, of AMP back in about 5 or 6 years ago was a guy called Stan Wallace. AMP lost $10 billion in the UK, biggest ever destruction of value in Australian history. And he's still on the board of a company called AFIC, which is Australia's biggest listed investment company. So they own $5 billion worth of stocks, and they vote on everyone else's pay. And he's still on that board, and he got 96% voted in favour when he was up for election last year. So it's very hard to get removed as a director. And the David Ryan ABC Learning example we've just seen, they were the biggest votes ever against a non-executive chairman or director in Australia for a sort of a top 50 company. And that was, you know, after $3 billion has been smoked at ABC Learning, ASIC's crawling all over them, the Commonwealth Bank's had its biggest disaster in history. I mean, what the hell has to happen for these guys to get off all these boards?
Traditionally, you are a voice of dissent in these. You have been in the past a voice of dissent in these meetings, the agitator when other people are happy to go along. But given so many shareholders are taking an absolute bath on their share prices, surely now you're a champion of the people, and you're going into those meetings and linking arms with everyone else and singing. We can, you know, hear Old the people sing, singing the song of angry men. Is that
well? Look, I would say that the bad thing about the boom was that AGM attendances halved. So we would often have an annual meeting where I'd be the only person speaking. So AXA, you know, AXA Australia, you know, big insurance company, 500,000 shareholders. The AGM will go for an hour and 20 minutes and it'll just be me, you know, me and one other person speaking. So the good thing about this season is that numbers are up. So Telstra, for instance, had 600 come to their AGM in Sydney last year. This year they had 1,091 turn up. So people are anxious about, you know, they've lost their shirts and everything. They want to hear from boards directly whether they're going to survive. And poor old Telstra didn't ran out of food on Friday at their AGM because the shareholders are hungry. The shareholders are hungry, angry, and wanting answers.
And I mean, shirtless.
Can you believe what Telstra did? They did 2 hours and 8 minutes of presentations, which is the longest filibuster in the history of AGMs in Australia. No other company has ever done, you know, the average is about 35, 40 minutes. So you get, you know, chairman goes for 10 minutes, CEO goes for 20 minutes, then we get on with the debate. Telstra, 2 hours and 8 minutes of chest beating, aren't we great? Haven't we done
Sounds
a great
like a
job?
Night.
But to be fair, Stephen, it probably took them that long to download the information that they needed. The broadband's not as fast as it could
no,
be.
No, that's right.
Now, you pointed towards executive salaries. The rich list has just come out. Lots of worthy people on that list.
Well, I mean, I actually ran some numbers over the weekend. The BRW rich list came out in May, and they identified 44 billionaires, families or individuals. And I reckon we've probably lost about half. So I think we've come back to about, well, I'll call it, say, 24 billionaires. But those that have fallen off, you know, include, for instance, the Fairfax family. So John B. Fairfax, and the Fairfax shares have gone from about $6 to $1.40 or something. Mm. So they've fallen off. You know, Solomon Liu, Bruce Gordon, Bob Oatley, Bruce Matheson, the Pokies king.
Is he not a billionaire anymore?
Well, I think pokey values have been plunging. Hotel values have been plunging. So I think he's probably fallen off. The Ainsworth family, which control the poker machine manufacturers, are aristocrats. So a lot of people have lost a lot of money. And I reckon the big 10 now sits as follows. I'd say Frank Lowy is now the richest bloke in Australia. Westfield shares have held up pretty well. I reckon he's worth $4 billion. Dick Pratt, probably number two. The, you know, recycling, we're always going to do the cardboard boxes. Even if he did fixed prices for a while, he's still got a few. 3.7. James Packer. People keep on saying that he's depressed and that he's lost all his dad's money, which is very unfair, actually, and very inaccurate. He's still worth $3.5 billion. And the best thing he ever did was selling Channel 9 and ACP, pocketing $4 billion, top of the boom. Private equity are left with a pile of debt worth nothing. And he's dropped a billion or two on casinos, and so he's gone too heavily into casinos, but he's made more selling out of 9 and ACP than he's lost in the casino games. So I reckon he's at number 3.5 billion. Rupert Murdoch, he's down to $3 billion from 9. So News Corp shares have gone from 25 to 10. It was funny, I had a call from the Sunday Telegraph on the weekend saying, oh, we're doing a thing on the rich list. And I gave them all these figures, which they turned into a page 3-4 story yesterday. And of course, they left out the Murdoch entry because they're owned by Murdoch. So they didn't say, you know, Rupert's dropped $7 billion, but they did say James Packer's depressed and he's lost all his money. Yeah. So it's a bit unfair. When,
that's a bit dodgy.
One rich bloke says everyone else has lost their money, but won't admit that he has lost his money as well.
They didn't report that Murdoch was selling copies of the Big Issue outside the Boyer lectures on the weekend. He's struggling.
We always run out of time when Stephen's in. Do you want to stick around?
Yeah, stick around for the news because people really want to know a bit more about Rupert. You know that, don't you?
All right, happily do.
And they love Rupert.
And Sam wants to hear more about Twiggy Forrest, who's one of his favourites.
He's still a billionaire, just dropped 12.
Well, he's the first Australian to have ever lost more than $10 billion. That's not a bad effort.
Jeez.
The government's pointing to its first-year achievements as including tax cuts, new trade training centres in high schools, the 2020 Ideas Summit. That's doing something, Stephen, not just symbols. That's 2020. It's ideas.
Were you one of them?
I got knocked back. I wrote in, I said, I want to be 2020. And sorry, sir, you've been excluded. So anyway.
But your ideas probably weren't big enough, Stephen. Yeah, they were very big ideas. computers in schools, the apology to Indigenous Australians, and signing the Kyoto Protocol. They're pointing to them as their particular successes of the first year. The opposition says that they have not had a successful first year, lots of broken promises, etc. They're pointing towards education, as is Rupert Murdoch, as the big issue that government is failing at in this country at the moment.
So that's a link. That's a mention of Rupert. So now I can come in.
That's lots of Rupert, so you can ask your questions.
A couple of things. One is, so when was the last time you saw him? Your great friend.
Well, look, I've had I think 4 to 5 hours of conversations with Rupert in public at AGMs over the years, and 1 2-minute private conversation after the first one of those. But I must admit, I couldn't afford the flights to New York this year, so I had to send a proxy to go along to New York. And so last year in New York was the last time when I had some great fun with him. I got up and said, Rupert, have you ever been elected? And he said, yes, I was elected last year. I said, no, you weren't elected last year. That was just the move to America, where all the board was elected automatically because you moved to America. But when were you last actually elected in the normal 3-year election cycle? And, you know, shuffling of feet, looking around. I was elected last year. And it had actually been 30 or 40 years. I still don't have a straight answer, but the world's most powerful man had shunned democracy and never actually been elected to his board.
The strength and courage of you to stand there as the heavies just start moving towards you on either side of the AGM as they come to take you away.
I've got to tell you, I've had my first security guard come at me this AGM season.
Which one?
On Blue Channel 7. Kerry Stokes, I'll sit halfway through my final sort of speech, which is you run this thing like a private company, you treat our shareholders with contempt, you won't even do a CEO's address. David Leckie sits here and sledges me, you know, halfway through the AGM. And he said, stop. I said, no, I haven't finished. He said, sit down. I said, look, the law says I'm allowed to speak. I'm still going, sit down, he said. And this big security guard starts coming at me. So I sat down and the meeting was closed. That was the end of it. So Kerry Stokes, I don't know what it is.
That's impressive stuff.
That is impressive.
I mean, he runs a broadcasting company and he's the only company that doesn't actually broadcast the AGM on the internet. And then his PR bloke confiscated my recorder on the way in. I asked him to provide a transcript so we have some sort of record of this public meeting. He refused. The law says we don't have to provide a transcript. And then so it was on for young and old after that start.
You have to try and get Today Tonight to do a story about that. I think that they'd be very interested.
I want to ask too about Rupert, because we both read a recent article in Vanity Fair about Rupert. Has his most recent marriage to Wendy, has that softened him a bit? Or did you get the impression in that article that he was embarrassed by his famous Fox News station?
Well, that was the impression that Michael Wolff sort of gave, that Wendy Deng has all these, Wendy Murdoch, as she's now called, has all these sort of groovy Democrat friends, you know, like the Google founders and this sort of stuff, and that Rupert is embarrassed about Fox. But over the weekend, he's just signed Roger Ailes, who's the sort of Republican head kicker who created Fox News, on another 5-year deal on well over $10 million a year.
Right.
And the New York Post did come out and say, you know, vote McCain, don't vote Obama. So I think at the end of the day, Rupert is still, a nutty sort of hard right-winger who's, who's paid $32 million bucks a year. I'm interested to see if his salary comes down with the share price having come down 70%.
I wouldn't think so, Stephen.
Well, I always say, it's my favourite AGM line, actually, is to go up to some billionaire and say, why don't you do a James Packer? I mean, James Packer donates his services for free. Mm. He doesn't draw a salary. So Kerry Stokes, Frank Lowe, why don't you just be charitable? You know, how many billion do you need? You get $100 million a year in dividends. Why don't you work for free?
And the answer would come be sit down.
Yeah.
Well, you security. Get security or sit down or
a burly figure coming up behind you.
I said
you.
Good day, sir.
Frank Lowe is, I believe, if you work, you get paid. I mean, well, okay, but $16 million a year, yes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, my husband works. He gets paid. Not that much, though.
So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But Rupert, I don't think he's really softening. I think you're seeing the Oz in particular run a pretty hard campaign against Labor in Australia. And at the end of the day, he'll always be a right-winger.
I'll just run through some. There's some countdowns going on.
Okay, so countdown to?
Draft. The AFL draft is on Saturday.
Oh, fantastic.
So 5 days to go.
Great.
3 days to go until the golf at the Masters.
Oh, yep.
And
John Daly and Ripping Nick.
Yeah. And there's 1 day to go until I give sport at this time again
great,
tomorrow.
That's brilliant. There you go. Excellent.
What about some weather?
I've got some right here. Cloudy, patchy drizzle this morning and wind south to southwesterly, 13.2 at the moment. And we're hoping to get to 20 degrees today. Love having you on, Stephen. As per usual, always interesting and fun.
I'm sorry I've blown out your news and weather and sport timetable, but...
we'll get through
always
it.
Always
great
to see
you. Yeah, well, so much to talk about.
AGM season.
We didn't even get to fashions on the field for AGM season. That's sad.
We'll hopefully speak to you again very soon, Stephen.
Thank you.